Can you imagine the scene of what's taking place as the disciples are pointing out to Jesus the beauty of the temple, how well it's adorned, the sacrifices being offered there? And in fact, this was a huge capstone because finally, after so many years, this great temple had finally been rebuilt. And it was just a huge achievement and how beautiful and wonderful it is. And they're pointing this out to our Lord. Look at how wonderful this is. And he says that not one stone will be left upon another. This whole place will be destroyed. And then he points out all kinds of calamities that would happen. They ask, you know, what will be the sign? So there's going to be great persecutions. There will be earthquakes. There will be natural disasters. There will be all kinds of terrible things going on in the world. There will be wars. And there will be, even for you, many of you first will have to be persecuted, even by your own family members. Even your own relatives will persecute you, and some of you will die. What a cheery, you know, response to the beauty of this temple that our Lord gives. And it's because he's pointing out he's giving a prophecy about what is to come. They're so busy, you know, looking at just the beauty of these wonderful things that are going on. He wants to prepare them for what the end will be, because the end will not be so beautiful. At least not in the way that we expect. Not just in the glory of, you know, nice things and the beauty of that are as a feast to the eyes, but rather what's going to take place in the soul. He's telling them about the end times. Now, the end times, just to clarify, because some people tend to ask, you know, are we coming to the end times soon? You know, is it happening? Is it coming? The end times are already here. And they've been going on ever since the time of Jesus. We are living in the end times. But the fact that we're living in the end times doesn't mean that necessarily any moment now our Lord is coming again. We have no idea. This has been going on for a long time. And our Lord wants us to remember what's really important. I mean, you look at the second reading, and the people were, the reason why they weren't working, that whole comment about, you know, those who do not work should not eat, it's because the people at that time expected that Jesus would come at any moment. They thought he was right around the corner, and so they figured, what's the point? Why should I bother working? Why should I bother with my labor? And what St. Paul tells them is that they need to continue their work. We never know when the time shall come. And in fact, even if we know the time shall come, we should be prepared. There was a great saint, I can't remember who it was specifically, who was out working in the fields. He was a monastic monk. And he's working in the gardens and just, you know, taking time in prayer and reflection and working and tilling the fields. And someone came to him and said, "Brother, what would you say, what would you do if you knew that tomorrow your end was coming? That tomorrow your life would be asked of you? What would you do?" And he said, "I would continue doing exactly what I'm doing right now. I would continue working in the gardens." Because he knew it's that daily offering that the Lord asks of us. He doesn't ask us to rush prepare at the last moment and run and tell everyone we love them really quickly. That should be a daily life, our daily sacrifice offered. And so our Lord tells them that they need to realize that all of these signs that would be coming were not going to be signs that would tell them the end is coming right now. He said all of this will happen first. How long before? He doesn't tell us. He just says all of these things will happen. And I think that's to let us know that our life will be filled with various periods of suffering and difficulty and trial and persecution. These things will happen. And so he says, what are we supposed to do? What are we supposed to do when persecution comes? Well, when he talks of the apostles, that some of them might even die, that they will be presented before courts, that they will be persecuted. And he says, this will be your time to give testimony. What a time to give testimony. You know, we think about giving testimony, of giving witness, of sharing our faith. We think of times that are happier, you know. when it's easier to talk to people, sometimes we want to hold off sharing the gospel, sharing the faith, because we want to wait for an appropriate time that someone is, you know, things are at peace, things are going well and easy and comfortable, so that we can say, you know, now's a good time to talk about Christ. When people, maybe they'll be more receptive in those times. But in fact, the time that Jesus says is when you will be ready to give testimony is when you're persecuted, when you are suffering. And that's because our true test of witness comes when things are at their worst. Because when we are suffering and at our worst, that shows the stuff we are made of. That shows what we really believe in. Because it's one thing to say you love Jesus when it's easy. You know, we can say anything we want. It can be quite easy in times that are simple. But when it comes down to brass tacks, when it comes down to the tough and difficult times, that's when we want to complain. That's when we want to say, "Oh Lord, why am I suffering?" That's when we want to turn and just, you know, lick our wounds, console each other, and hope that the pain will just go away. But those are the times that Christ can truly be made manifest. Because do you know anyone who has inspired you to greater and deeper faith and love of Jesus by complaining that this is unjust, this is unfair? Why has this been done to me? Why am I suffering so? Who complains over and over again? Does that move you to great faith? Do you sit there and go like, you know, this person's really on to something? Rather, you know, maybe you have somebody in your life who's a perpetual complainer, who just always has to share only what is wrong, and they can never speak of what is good. And they never speak of the love of Christ. And it becomes tiring, doesn't it? Now, this does not mean that we can't share our sorrows or we can't lean on each other. We need to support one another and love one another. But if we want to really bear witness of the love of Jesus, if we want to show the world the love that we have, that is shown in enduring through the suffering with great love, showing others a smile, joy, because we know what our suffering can be given for. We know that we can offer our suffering to God. We know that we suffer with Jesus, that He suffers with us, and that ultimately in our end, we hope for life in Christ. You know, imagine Jesus, who had every reason to be justified in complaining, I suppose. If our Lord had said, when the Pharisees were coming after Him, when the people were persecuting Him, if He said, "I have done nothing unjust. Why do you keep persecuting me? Leave me alone. I'm a good person. Can't you just leave me be?" If He had gone to the cross kicking and screaming, yelling out in pain and sorrow, would that have inspired us? Would we be able to say anything but He is just another man? But it's because Jesus demonstrated to us His love in suffering, showed His willingness to go to the very, very end out of love for us. That's what wins our hearts. That's what makes us say, "I want to be like that," so that I too can be a proud witness through suffering. Another example, because, you know, we might say, "Well, maybe my suffering doesn't feel like it's connected to Christ in any way. How is it that my suffering can be related to God, because I'm not being persecuted for my faith? Maybe I'm just suffering in general." There was a woman, a nun in Argentina, a Carmelite, maybe you heard of her. Her news story was passed around a lot. Pictures of her smiling at the moment of her death. And this was a woman who was so in love with Jesus that even though she suffered greatly from cancer, that all the way to the very end, she continued to show that love and she continued to bear a smile on her face because she knew what was coming next. She knew that the closer she came to death, that the more she suffered, the closer she was drawing to her loved one, Jesus Christ. So it was with great joy that she reached her end, that when she passed away, a smile remained on her face. How much this is the opposite of the way the world is speaking to us, even here in Canada, now that we've legalized euthanasia. That we've now come to this point of telling people, don't suffer. End it all. Get out early so that you don't have to suffer, and then call that dignity. But really what it does is that is the devil's lie to do the exact opposite of what Christ wants to do in us. He wants us to witness, to give testimony to the love of Jesus, to show we're willing to suffer to the ends of the earth because we love Jesus Christ who has given his life for us. If we show we're willing, no one's willing to die for someone they don't love. People are willing to go to the very depths of death when it's for someone they love greatly. And that's the kind of witness we need to give to the world. Now, it's not easy. And in fact, we cannot do that on our own. I know this is, I say this over and over again, but we have to rely completely on Jesus. Because Jesus says to the disciples, don't prepare for yourself what you're going to say when it comes to the moment of your testimony. And why not? Because then it's our own words, our own power. He says, I will speak through you. I will give you the words. I will bear witness. Because it's not truly us. And so if you find yourself in suffering and think to yourself, I just need to grit my teeth and just suffer through it and manage to press on, that's not what Jesus is asking. He says, unite your sufferings to me. Let me suffer through you. Let me show my love through you. Give it all to Jesus. Keep giving it to Jesus. Let him bear witness through you. Because that is the love that this world so sorely needs right now, is people who can suffer well. People who can suffer and show the witness of their love of Jesus Christ.